Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
Somebody is cracking up, and you've got Doc Holliday here, and you've got Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. So glad to have you. What a show we're going to pack in for you this week. So tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell the liberals, tell the conservatives, tell the moderates, the independents, the Republicans, the Democrats, to get to Rock Splitting Politics and get yourself educated on what you need to know about the election this year. So we are glad to have you. And this week's show is titled, Fool Me Once, Shame on You. Fool Me Twice, Shame on Me. And the reason we've got that theme, the wise saying, is because we got a president, I think he's cracking up. Did you hear the first part of the show? He said if he didn't have this done in 3 years, it'd be a one-term proposition. Well, he's a one-termer, it looks like. So, ladies and gentlemen, this show will tell you why he's a one-termer. We're going to get right into it. First of all, I'm going to talk about some exciting news in the field of conservatism. In the state of Indiana, the United States Senate, a longtime Republican, moderate, rhino, whatever you want to call him. He's a fine statesman, but he's not what we need at this point in American history. And guess what? I'll tell you about what happened last week in the Indiana elections, if you have not heard yet. I'm also going to tell you about the Appalachian opposition to Obama. Have you heard about that? Well, we're going to find out what some folks and voters did in West Virginia. Then I'm also going to tell you that we have a great guest, and Lowell Ponte is going to talk about the economy and this president, and we are getting to that. We'll dial him up in just a few minutes, and I'm glad to tell you we've got some special guests going to be coming on a little bit later in the show. And I also want to tell you that this week's Tombstone of the Week Award goes to one Stephanie Guyomphe. Stephanie Guyomphe. Now, who is she? She works in the Department of Justice. And since the first time ever, we gave the Tombstone of the Week Award for comments made on Facebook. You won't believe it. So listen to this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And as always, the rock-splitting Obama fact will be coming at the end. You don't want to miss that because it has everything to do with what's happened in the last couple of weeks and how it's going to affect the election. You're going to hear some things that we talked about here on Doc Holliday's Tea Party and Rock Splitting Politics and just a few weeks ago. And now it's coming to fruition, and we're going to talk about it in this week's Rock Splitting Obama Fact. So one thing I want to say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Talking about who is our president. Did he fool us once? Will he fool us again? So that's my question for this week's show. And seems like there should be a song that could go right along with that. Yes, and that's from The Who, We Won't Be Fooled Again. We won't get fooled again. That's That's with the whole, what we're talking about this election. Some of us weren't fooled the first time around. Many Americans were. Don't let anybody get fooled again. And going back to what President Obama himself said on this show earlier, when you heard the rocks cracking, and I believe he's cracking up, folks, and he said, if I don't do it in 3 years, it'll be a one-termer. That's basically, in his own words, that's basically what he said. If I don't get this economy fixed, don't get these things done, I'm a one-termer. So let's take him at his word. So let's get right into today's show. And fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's what the whole, we need a bumper sticker. Don't you think that'd be great to put that on a bumper sticker and have one of those little Obama emblems of us, international slash saying no, no Obama. I think that'd be great. Maybe some entrepreneur can start putting those bumper stickers out. Let me know. Send me one. Now, got to talk to you about last week. I mentioned coming up on last week's election was Murdoch versus Senator Lugar in the state of Indiana. Lugar is a Republican, has been in the Senate for 36 years. Well-known statesman, but guess what? He compromises so many times that this candidate named Murdoch, who came in strong with a lot of Tea Party support, a lot of conservative support, and he really walloped. It wasn't even close. He defeated Richard Lugar, who had been a senator for 36 years in the state of Indiana, well-respected, well-liked, but he's a man of a different era. I told you, conservatism is marching on, and listen, even James Carville is telling the Obama re-election team, look, this election's not won. He can see the writing on the wall. Do you understand? When President Obama kicked off his campaign in Ohio, in a stadium that would hold like 14,000 people, and it was a little more than halfway full. You've got to start putting the pieces together, folks. The mainstream media is propping this president up, and when it starts to collapse, watch out, because we got a long way between here and the election. But I'm telling you, this president is hurting with the American people. They want change. They want a different economy. And you can't believe everything you hear in the mainstream media. It's not hunky-dory, and President Obama is he's not treading water. He's trying to keep his head above water. Romney's gaining ground in the polling, but the most important thing is I think he's lost the confidence of the American people. We're going to see it more and more, and we're going to go right into it. Look at the state of West Virginia, and I told you at the opening, Appalachian opposition to Obama. Well, guess what? When Indiana was voting to get rid of Richard Lugar, the West Virginia was having the Democratic primary, and whoop, nobody's on the ballot except for President Obama. But no, that is not right. There was somebody else on the ballot in West Virginia, and this is what is so funny. Well, it was a felon incarcerated. He's in the Texas prison. He managed to win 41% of the Democratic primary vote against the president of the United States. And I guess this, in West Virginia, county by county numbers tell even a more interesting story. He defeated Judd, the Texas prison prisoner, managed to defeat the incumbent president in 9 counties across the state. And he held President Obama under 60% in 30 of West Virginia's 55 counties. 30 of West Virginia's 55 counties. And I mean, what's really going on is the President Obama is called, locally known in West Virginia as the War on Coal. But you know, when people want jobs, they don't want to work, and this is the epitome. This is exactly what President Obama's doing. People want to work, and he's throwing them out of jobs. He's getting rid of the coal jobs. He doesn't like coal, and he doesn't like the coal miners because he doesn't want them to have a job. And so get this, folks. A felon in a Texas prison won 9 counties in West Virginia, and he kept the president under 60% in 30 of West Virginia's 55 counties. That ought to wake up a lot of Democrats. James Carville, he's warning. He's sending a warning. There's something happening. Everybody listens to NBC, NBC, and CBS, ABC, and they think this president is hunky-dory. He's got this thing sewed up. It's a slam dunk. Folks, that's not what's real. Go out and talk to people who are hurting, who want jobs, who have college debts to pay, and they can't find a job. All these people helped put Obama in office to begin with. Remember, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Oh, wow, we got so much to get into. And we got Lowell coming up in just a little bit. That's Lowell Ponte. And we got to dial him up in just 3 or 4 more minutes. But first, let me get to this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. I said it goes the first time ever. It goes to a posting in Facebook. He can't go find his posting now because it was taken off very quickly. But there was a Department of Justice employee. And who is she? Well, she's been there for a while. But she made some comments about my state. I live in the state of Mississippi. Now, every state has its problems. Mississippi does too. But for the Department of Justice employee to say Mississippi should change its motto. This is what she said. This is what she wrote on her Facebook page, that Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, and she didn't single out any one or a couple of crazy folks. She said the state of Mississippi, meaning all the population, should change its state motto to disgusting and shameful. Can you believe it? She gets this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. Absolutely disgusting. Now, let me tell you what's even worse than that. This is even worse. It's bad enough to say that on Facebook. But guess what? She is in the Civil Rights Division voting section. And she's a career employee. And guess what? She is supposed to be over Mississippi's voter ID law when the Department of Justice takes a look at it to see if they'll approve Mississippi's voter ID law. And she says that the state should change its motto to shameful and disgusting. Give me a break. And there's a lot of people who've gone up against it. In fact, the Department of Justice says she won't be in charge of Mississippi. Well, you know what? Tell me why, Eric Holder, you are the Attorney General. Why do you keep somebody in your employment? Oh, guess what? There were some document leaks between 2005 and 2007. And guess what? Miss Gomphies, she was the perpetrator of the leaks. And she lied. She lied. She has perjured herself. And she lied 3 times before finally she broke down and told the truth in the Inspector General's investigation. She committed a criminal act. She perjured herself. How many employees would you keep that lied 3 times to Inspector General? And the Department of Justice, Eric Holder, has done nothing to remove this employee. She's a liar, and she's cheated the American people. And he keeps her employed. This is the kind of disgusting scandal that the Obama administration is stinking to high heaven because they keep people like this around who should be fired, dismissed, relieved of their job. And what? They put them in charge. She's been in charge of Texas voter ID. Disgusting. She called Mississippi disgusting and shameful and said we should take our state motto and make it that. Absolutely incredible that this is not making the mainstream media. You're hearing it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because you need to know who Eric Holder is keeping employed in his Department of Justice. And this is a part of the Obama administration. Absolutely disgusting. It's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And let me take this time to remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. Do go back and look at the archive shows. Go back and listen to it. We've had a great show. If you have not heard the show about where I compare Barack Obama to General Robert E. Lee, he's got hits all over the internet. You need to go and listen to that show, see what you think about it, and email me. Tell me what you think. Now, another show we just did, talking about a few weeks ago, the Trayvon Martin case. Go back and listen to the show of Natty Winters. A lot of good stuff to listen to. Go back in the archives and just help yourself. And now, I told you we have a special guest, and after we listen to a Lowell, and we're going to dial him up in just a minute, Lowell Ponte. We got our Robert Sanchez to be coming on. And I'm very proud of Robert and what he's doing. And listen, he's a good friend. And he helped found the official American Standard Playing Cards. And you can believe it. The foundation of this nation is strong when you see these cards and use these cards. Because their mission is for America to have her own playing cards. You know, while they're sowing seeds of liberty, you by playing these cards, you sow the seeds of liberty. And you can get yours today. You learn more by going to my homepage. Just to click on Doc Recommends section. And you click on the ad right there on the front page. You'll be glad you did. And in a few minutes, after we speak to Lowell, I'm going to let you hear from Robert Sanchez himself, who's the originator of these cards. So let's get right on to our guest today. And we have on the phone Lowell Ponte. And Lowell, we're glad to have you on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Well, Doc, it is an honor to be with you.
We are glad to have you on the show. I want to tell our listeners that you have co-authored a book that's called The Inflation Deception, Six Ways Government Tricks Us and Seven Ways to Stop It. It's a new book that's out. And what we want you on today's show for is to help us understand, is our federal government and this Obama administration, are they manipulating the figures on our economy?
Oh, they're manipulating just about every number they can get their hands on. It's astonishing how bad the economy really is compared to what they're telling you it is. Case in point, we're told that America is still a productive country. In fact, more than 35% of what we call our domestic product, gross domestic product, our productivity, is government spending by federal, state, and local government. So that's a third of the economy right there. 42 cents out of every dollar the government is now spending is borrowed money. And you remember what it said in the book of Proverbs in the Bible, that the borrower is slave to the lender. Well, we are now slave to countries like communist China that are lending us trillions of dollars. And we are literally borrowing, Doc, at a rate, take a deep breath, of $58,000 every second, every day of the week, every week of the year. Now, count with me, just for fun, to see what that means. Dot. In those 3 seconds, your spendaholic politicians borrowed another $174,000 and added it to the bar tab that our children and grandchildren will be expected to pay.
Low, I'll just have to stop you for a minute. That's unbelievable. People don't make $175,000 a year. Most Americans don't. And we're spending that in 3 seconds.
Oh, and understand what that means. If you look at that in inflation-adjusted dollars. Once upon a time, the United States bought the state of Alaska, and before that, Thomas Jefferson carried out the Louisiana Purchase. Now, in the Louisiana Purchase, back in the early 1800s, we bought the land that today includes the states of, let me take a deep breath, okay, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota, as well as sizable portions of what today are Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, Minnesota, and the southern parts of Alberta and Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Now understand, today, every 2 hours, we are borrowing more money than we paid for all that land, two-thirds of all the U.S. land west of the Mississippi. We're borrowing that every 2 hours now.
Well, Lowell, now we're getting into history. A couple of weeks ago, we had a show, and I was trying to show that President Obama is attacking our U.S. Constitution, and I compared him to General Lee at the Battle of Gettysburg, General Lee trying to attack America's foundation. And some people got upset because they said, well, President Obama, you couldn't put him as putting us back into slavery. And yet what you just told us, this borrowing, this we are going into slavery if we don't do something about this debt. Is that not right?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Historians looking back at the Battle of Gettysburg say what Lee should have done was to turn and charge his troops directly at Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. He was within striking distance of the Capitol. The Capitol was undefended. The Union had brought its troops to Gettysburg. And he could have outrun them to D.C. He could have taken the nation's capital. The war could have had a very different outcome. Such are things you get from Monday morning quarterbacking, telling people what they could or should have done. But that was actually a much closer war than some people realize.
Well, and we went over that, and I, of course, I got a book listeners know about, and I compare this election a lot to the Battle of Gettysburg. And I'm telling you, that's it's very scary. Sometimes you think about what would have happened if Lee had actually triumphed at Gettysburg.
It would have certainly been a turning point, but he would have then just had to keep going north with one exception, and this is what we forget.
Okay.
Had things gone a little differently in history, for example, if we went back to the year 1850, not 1860 when the war was going, but in 1850, there was the Great Compromise that was reached. It didn't get out of the way the issues that would lead to the war between the states, but it bought the North and others time. Now, in that time, what happened is the British, who were dependent on all their mills, their whole economy was dependent on Southern cotton.
Right.
But between 1850 and 1860, the British said, we know that war is still coming in the U.S., therefore we are now going to take our possession of Egypt, and we're going to plant the whole Nile Valley in cotton, which they did. And accordingly, when war finally did come, the British could wipe their hands and say, we don't have to be involved in the U.S. war, because we're no longer dependent on Southern cotton. But had the South gone to war in 1850 instead of 1860, that would have forced the British to come in on the Southern side. It would no longer have been the Yankee fleet bottling up Southern ports. It would have been the British fleet bottling up Philadelphia and New York.
Wow!
And that would have been a very, very different war. The South would have had no trouble at all getting weapons and supplies. So these are the things history turns on, these little momentary decisions. But the moral we have today is it's time for the American people as a whole to turn on Washington, D.C. It is time for us to go after the Capitol and say, we're tired of being ruled from a foreign capital, which is what D.C. really effectively has become. I know I used to work there as a journalist.
Okay.
We should go back to the ideal to the founders here, like Jefferson and Washington. Two Southerners, two Virginians, who were dedicated to the idea of power at the local and state level more than at the federal level. Right now, we have a society. I mean, consider the situation we have now been dug into in the last 100 years. We now are in a world where 49.5% of the people pay no income tax at all.
You're talking about in the United
States. Where 47% of households in America get a government check. And so when they look at the government, it's just a big free goodie dispensing machine that they don't think they have to pay for.
Well, now, Lowell, let me stop you there. What do you do in our society like we have today? When half the population, half the voters, are not paying taxes? How do you turn that around? How do you say, well, you don't need any more goodies from the government? We're broke. And if we are broke,
that's what we devote 3 whole chapters in this book, The Inflation Deception, to. By the way, this is a 264-page book, costs $20 at the bookstore. We would be happy to give, absolutely free and postpaid, Doc, 1,000 of your listeners free a copy of this book. And one of the things it shows you is how you can, if it comes right down to it, if you realize we're now standing on the deck of the USS Titanic, we've already hit the iceberg, the ship is already taking water, the economy is going to sink, it shows you how you can put together a lifeboat so that you're not one of the 1,500 people left going down with the ship. Mm-hmm. And we would be happy to give, as I say, 1,000 of your listeners this book. Before the interview is over, remind me, and I'll be happy to give a toll-free phone number
okay.
so people can get the book. Our aim, my co-author Craig Smith is a very successful businessman. He had already retired, and then he suddenly looked around and said, you know, the country's going to hell in a handbasket for my children and grandchildren. We've got to do something to restore sound money. Now, that, I guess, is one key thing we need to focus on. In the Bible, there were only four things that God considered money: cattle, land, silver, and gold. The founding fathers, in framing our Constitution, followed that. They followed the biblical principle. They established silver and gold as money. We have walked away from that. Today, our money is just pieces of paper.
Well, Lowell, let's see, in the Constitution, gold and silver established? Is not that written in our Constitution?
It is. That's exactly the point. The founders followed the Bible. Today's government doesn't. And that has made a huge difference. And so today we have what in this book, The Inflation Deception, we call an inflatocracy, government of, by, and for inflation, where the government now funds itself basically by printing money. The effect of that, of course, is devastating. It allows them to have all the money they want. Meanwhile, every time they print a dollar, it devalues every dollar in your life savings. Because there are some things, Doc, that government just can't do. For example, Congress can't pass a meaningful law repealing the law of gravity. I wish they could. I wouldn't have to diet as much. But they can't do it. And likewise, they can't repeal the natural law of supply and demand. You know, if they double the number of paper dollars in the economy, that means soon it will take twice as many dollars to buy the same things.
And we're going to have to stop the interview right there because we got so much to do. So we're going to get Lowell back. Next week we'll play some more of the interview. But I am going to let him give you the 1-800 number. Let me do that right now, and then we're going to get into this week's Rock Split and Obama Fact after you hear from Robert Sanchez. First, let's get this 1-800 number that you get from Lowell to get this free book for the first 1,000 people of Doc Holliday's Rock Split and Politics. Get a free book. So go ahead and call this number.
That's why I hope people will get the free book that will show them how we can end this and how we can save ourselves. Even if President Obama is reelected, there are things you can do to protect your family and your life savings. Can I give people a toll-free number?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Go ahead, Lowell, and give that number.
Yeah, the toll-free number to get your own copy of The Inflation Deception is 800-630-1494. That's 800-630-1494. It's not quite Columbus. It's not 1492, but it's close. 800-630-1494. Hey, Doc.
Hey, Robert. Let's see. Robert, tell us about your cards.
Well, the cards are starting to take off, Doc. I mean, we're real excited about them. What we're doing now, we're just trying to educate the voters and the citizens about the enumerated powers of Congress and the rights of the people. So it's working real good. I mean, these cards, what we did, we feel America should have her own playing cards. For 700 years, the world has been playing with kings and queens and spades and diamonds. And by looking at it, we just said, you know what? That's just un-American. So we changed the suits of the playing cards. Instead of spades, diamonds, hearts, and clubs, it's faith, declaration, revolution, and unity. And it tells you the story of our founding. You know, our founders united by faith. They declared their independence. They won a revolution, and they formed our republic. And those are our suits. Now, when you get to the ace in a regular deck, that represents the king's empire. Our card is I, and it represents our independence.
Wow.
So
okay.
It's just amazing how we did it. And then the 1-10 cards is actually the Bill of Rights. So we wrote the First Amendment on the 1 card, the Second Amendment on the 2 card, the Third Amendment on the 3, all the way down to the 10th Amendment. And instead of playing with royals, you know, jacks, queens, and kings, we changed them to represent we the people, gentlemen, ladies, and patriots.
Wow. Okay.
So, so from our face cards down, what we did is we wrote one clause on each of those playing cards from Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Those are the enumerated powers of Congress, the only powers that we the people relinquish to our government, and the powers that they're abusing left and right for the last 100 years. And that's what we're trying to educate the people on.
And it's called the official American playing cards. Is that right?
there are the official American Center playing cards, and our website is actually constitutioncards.com. So, yeah, but they are the official American Center playing cards. If you Google American playing cards, you are going to get a deck of cards with an American flag on it. But it's still going to have the kings and the queens and the jacks and the spades and the diamonds, which are foreign to this country.
That's not American, is it?
That's royalty. Is not American, man. And we've just been duped, I guess, into playing with them cards.
Wow. Well, what you're doing, and it's just amazing that not only you're giving something to America, you're helping teach Americans the history they should know so we can stand up for our very rights.
Absolutely. And right now, during this election cycle, it's very important because we have a lot of people out there that are seeking power. Okay, well, the powers that they're seeking is in Article 1, Section 8. They're the only powers that we relinquish to them. So I think it's a great tool to have people stand up and ask the bold questions. Hey, give me one enumerated power that you think Congress is abusing. And I can guarantee you 80% of them cannot name you one enumerated power, because I've been doing this for the past 8 months.
Wow.
And it's a shame. It's quite embarrassing when we get into that situation where they don't know an enumerated power. So I'm like, well, what are you going to take an oath to uphold if you don't even know what powers we give you? Well, so I just think it's a great tool to educate the people and the voters.
Well, not only the people and the voters, if I was a school teacher, I'd love to have a deck of these cards and show my class. And if you're a school teacher or Sunday school teacher, if you're, you know, any kind of business, I think it'd be great to have these cards to show people this is the American official deck of playing cards, and everybody ought to get a deck. Isn't that right?
I think that's absolutely right. And also what we're doing is we're targeting businesses, because I know a lot of people use playing cards for advertising. Well, we decided, hey, if you're a liberty-minded organization out there and you wanted to put your company on our box, and the back of all of our playing cards, we'll even have a special insert card that describes your business, what you're doing, and to educate the people, or whatever you want on that card. So we're also targeting, American companies that believe in liberty to see if they want to, you know, support us. And it's actually a very inexpensive way to market their idea and get it out there to the people.
Well, you're doing something great for America, and I wish you success. And the people, if they want to find out more, of course, they can click on the ad on the homepage, my front page there, or they can just go to constitutioncards.com.
Yep, that's correct, constitutioncards.com.
Well, Robert, thank you so much, and I just hope you sell a million cards every week until election day.
Man, if we could get them out there to the people, I think it'll make a difference. And I want to thank you for what you're doing, Doc, and just spreading the word of liberty, man. I mean, we need more people to stand up like that and just get the message out there.
We're going to work together and make America a better country for our citizens and actually for the whole world.
That's right, man, and I'm honored to be one of your sponsors, and we look forward to keeping it going.
All right. Thank you, Robert. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Doc. All right, bye-bye.
And that was Robert Sanchez. You got to hear him himself and from the official American Standard Playing Card. So click on the ad and get you a deck. You need some for yourself, your grandkids, and so click on there and order some of those from Robert. Help support liberty in America. And that brings us right up to this week's rock-splitting Obama fact. I told y'all a few weeks ago, if you can go back and listen to the archive shows, you'll remember. Now, I said when President Obama gets himself between a rock and a hard place, when he tries to tiptoe around gay marriage. And this last week, Vice President Biden just pushed it all on him. He wanted to, I really think President Obama wanted just wink and nod. And it's the gay activist said, look, you can't, you know, if you're going to be a leader, show us you're a leader. And so now President Obama has fully embraced gay marriage. Now, what does that mean? Some folks say, well, it doesn't mean anything to me. Well, I'll tell you one thing. His base, the African-American faith community, has been really upset with this. I know an African-American pastor who told me, and maybe I can get him on air. He may not say it publicly, but he said, Ed, this is one thing that President Obama is entirely wrong on, and I will choose the Bible, what the Bible says, before I choose what a man in the White House says. And that, to me, is huge. Is it going to make a huge difference? I don't know. We got 6 months to the election. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of African Americans in the faith community who stand strongly on biblical principles. And if you don't believe it, go back and what I told you a few weeks ago, go back and look what happened in the state of California when there's a constitutional amendment on there saying marriage between one man and one woman. And what happened is the African American faith community that went out and pushed Obama into the office in the state of California, he won big, but also the marriage between one man and one woman, the constitutional amendment that stopped gay marriage in California, it was pushed over the top by overwhelming support from the African American faith community right there in California. And I'm telling you that this is not a wedge issue. This is a bridge issue. You get what I'm telling you? What we talk about here on rock splitting politics. Who would ever thought that President Obama has become a wedge that is crumbling down some barriers between African American faith community and the Republican Party? I'm not saying it's going to all of a sudden make a huge inroads into the African American community, but there is something now that the African American faith community can identify with a lot of conservatives in the Republican Party. So instead of a wedge issue, President Obama has made a bridge that has never been seen before. And that's this week's Rock Splitting Obama Fact. See you next week. We got more from Lowell Ponte. And I got to tell you that we got some exciting weeks coming up right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Continue to tell your friends we're growing because of you and what you're telling your friends and going back and listening to the archive show. And let me just tell you that the four most important words for this nation, for this year, 2012, getobamaoutnow.com. Go to getobamaoutnow.com and we will see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.